Trey, you've given your thoughts on it today. I know Isaiah said something similar over the weekend. Were you on social media at all? Did you sense like a Longhorn fan reaction? I always say Longhorn fans can always be realistic, sometimes too realistic. Aggie fans sometimes aren't realistic enough. Do you think Longhorn fans were being overly realistic over the weekend from their reaction? Was a lot of it kind of dark cloud formed over the season when they hear about these injuries?
I'm going to be very honest. I do not pay close attention to the reaction of Longhorn Twitter.
Okay.
And I don't read deeply on the Inside Texas On 3 message board, even though the vitriol is not as toxic as it is on other Longhorn message boards. Not that I don't care what you people think, but I don't want it to taint my opinion necessarily. So were there some who were really negative about things, rightfully negative about things? Maybe. Were there some who said, oh, next man up mentality, this team's still capable of winning 10 or 11 games? There's probably a little bit of all of that.
Yeah.
But for me, losing two guys for the year who were important pieces on offense and two other guys, each of whom had major roles to play within their respective position group on their respective side of the ball, this is four bad losses for this program. When you couple that with losing another receiver to an indefinite suspension for just being a knucklehead regarding trying to take a boot off of a car that he had parked on campus, all of a sudden a position group at wide receiver that looked like a position of strength for you this year now has serious question marks. And thankfully it had the depth that it did starting fall practice, because now you're down to Xavier Worthy, Jordan Whittington, only a matter of time before he's hurt, probably.
Cross some fingers when you say
that
name,
right?
Please.
And then you also got the kid from Iowa State who becomes a huge
Milton.
Pickup
yep.
Now, Tariq Milton. And so now is a guy like Brennan Thompson, the speedster, true freshman. Is he going to get more of an opportunity? Savion Red has really been turning heads, especially mm-hmm. in the return game, but he has the body of a grown-ass man. Does he get more opportunities now? This is a former walk-on. Casey Kane find his way into the mix now a little bit more than he would have otherwise. I think these are things that will hopefully really begin to shake out over the next week or two and be somewhat resolved as the season gets going in less than 2 weeks now.
Yeah, we'll definitely keep talking receivers here. I want to get Zay's thoughts on it as well. You folks let me know too. 337-3776, the Specs text line. Your immediate reaction over the weekend, Longhorn fans around you, was it the season just changed, you take a couple wins off your prediction, or is it, oh, the season's lost, let's forget it? Did it get that crazy? Zay, the Longhorn fans around you and your mindset, how did things change on Saturday?
Not looking good. Not looking good at all.
Now, where were you before Saturday? What was your kind of mindset on wins and where you thought they could be before, like when you got up Saturday?
I was leaning more 9-3.
Okay.
Every week. 9-3.
Okay.
Maybe in the season could have went 10-2. Originally I said 8-4. I think the 8-4 sounded more and more like
okay. It's
gonna head that way. With
like, where do
injuries.
I sign up for that deal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, with BNE this morning, Bucky Gabo, he said something that was really smart about with him and, you know, his former head coach and how he used to just shut it down. After two people got hurt, that was it. We're done practicing. We'll do some individual stuff. But, you know, it's a really hard balance in football of how hard do we go to get up to game speed and how do we keep these guys healthy? And I feel like every coaching staff has to deal with that some sort of way. But, you know, just like Joe Cook said earlier, it's football. These guys hit. We know it's going to happen. We know injuries are going to happen. And looks like the Horns just caught a lot of bad luck recently.
Yeah, in the working world, it's how do you get experience without a job? How do you get a job without experience? This discussion, Trey, is how do you practice physically and keep everybody healthy, and then how – and get ready for the season and keep everybody healthy, and then how can you keep everybody healthy unless you're getting physically ready? Because if you get dominated by Alabama and pushed around and blocked and tackled to death, what are the fans going to say? Were we even practicing? We got on them years ago because they didn't have a blocking dummy, because they didn't have a blocking sled. You have to do a physical amount at some level, but then you also run the risk that this is how it can start.
I mean, you still want to put a competitive effort forth versus Alabama, but Alabama should be the least of your concerns right now. You are staring down the barrel of maybe having to start two true freshmen on this offensive line, not because both haven't been decent enough or good enough, but programs like Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, they're not starting true freshmen on their offensive line for reason. Even guys that eventually turn into all-conference, if not all-American performers in first-round draft picks, they don't have to because their depth is healthy enough. You don't have that healthy depth. It's why losing Angelau like that, a guy who wasn't even necessarily an all-conference performer, but a dude who brought a ton of starts to the table and potentially helping this entire offensive line by sliding to that center position, that is gone now. I guess the silver lining is that you do get the starter from last year back at center, so it's not like he's completely in the dark, but losing that sort of experience at a position group that sorely needs it, that is crushing, especially against the Alabamas of the world. But you know the Big 12 is filled with really good defensive lines. So even though most defensive lines are not Alabama, Texas is still going up against a number of good ones in this conference this year. And the Naor loss, I'm curious to see who ends up stepping in for him, because you're not going to get the same sort of impact. But that's, I don't think that's as killer as the Angelau loss, just from a standpoint of having other experienced guys who can maybe step in there. I think the guy who ends up filling that role is going to be Tariq Milton. A bit more of a possession receiver type, but he's sneaky. He had the ability to get behind the opposing defenders at times throughout his Iowa State career over the last few years.
All right, Trey, not to add any insult to injury. I know there's actual injury there, so pardon the pun.
Pun intended.
But Jordan Matthews, four-star cornerback out of Baton Rouge, just announced UT, the other one. He picked Tennessee. Mike Roach is who I first saw here tweeting from 24/7, and it says he announces his commitment to Tennessee. Texas misses out on a big target at the cornerback position.
Well, that stings.
Yeah. So there's your recruiting story of the day. Obviously, positive stuff from last week with Baxter, the running back. This is Jordan Matthews. What a weird story overall. Again, out of Baton Rouge, dad went to LSU. LSU not on his final list. Tennessee, Texas, and Michigan. So to him, he decides he's going to go with Orange, but it's that other Orange. So Tennessee is the decision for Jordan Matthews. So we have Longhorn fans texting in, and to me, this is the mindset where I would go if I was a Texas fan, because you can't totally throw everything away 19 days from the kick. Some fans texting in, hey, let's not focus on the injuries. What about the rest of the scrimmage? What else happened on the offensive and defensive line? What happened with the quarterbacks? Let's not go that far. We can't throw the season away. I would tell you not to throw the season away. It's just one of those things where you're trying to measure out expectation levels for the team. This might be a weekend, Trey, where after it, I would just tell a Texas fan, maybe you know, if you had a bunch of big needs, I might drop a couple of those, especially if you were in the area that Zay was just talking about. If you were living in that 9 or 10 world, because I'll admit that's where my prediction was. I was up into that 9-3. I wouldn't go in 10, but I thought 9-3 was possible. I certainly thought 9 wins was possible. Especially,
yeah, you were in that 8-9 point that I was at.
Especially if you count a bowl game win, I thought 9 was possible. Now I would dial it back and say maybe it's like a 7 or 8. I'll ask you two guys, the Longhorn fans, if I put the paper in front of you with 7 guaranteed wins on it right now, do you sign or you take your chances?
No, I'm taking my chances there.
Zay, 7.
Take my chances.
You'll take your chances with 7.
We need to see this team show some fight. There are 8 winnable games on the schedule right now. Even if you're not going to beat Alabama, this is a conference that has a lot of question marks up and down.
Now, if I put a snowman on the paper, would you sign that?
Yes.
Okay. Zay, what about an 8? Guaranteed 8. I will guarantee you a snowman. Sign it, or you take your chances. Or you say Quinn Ewers or Hudson Card, I trust.
Is it the guaranteed A&M 2021 8, which includes a win over Alabama?
Oh, now you see that.
Because weren't you guys 8-4 during the regular season last year, or was it 9-3?
No, it was 8-4.
Okay.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Well, I think you'd have to sign that, wouldn't you?
Are you kidding me?
I mean, even though you'd have to sit through 4 losses, and you're like, wait, where are these losses coming from? If you beat Bama, you'd have to take that.
Getting the Bama win would be sweet enough.
Take it from somebody who watched 4 losses I don't want to talk about, you'd take that.
Yeah.
You would take that.
You still get to hold on to that Bama win title.
Yeah, it did still happen. So
Zay, you taking that deal?
You take that, right?
Beat Bama?
Eight and Bama?
Beat Bama, win eight total.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Forgive you that one.
What if...
That's good.
Okay, we're adding to the hypothetical here.
Here we go.
Eight wins, beat Bama, one of the four losses, Kansas.
Oh! Come on, man.
Zay, you taking that deal?
I'll take it.
Oh!
It's at Kansas.
That's true. It makes it just the slightest bit more forgivable.
Now, that's a modern-day Longhorn fan making that argument. Well, it is in Lawrence. I mean, come on, do that math. Yeah, I think you'd still have to take it because you get the Bama win. But, boy, that would be a crusher on the other
side. No, I'm not taking that
one. You don't
want
that one? Okay.
That would be a three-game losing streak to Kansas, wouldn't it?
Well, no. They had a win between, right? It's not back-to-back.
Okay. Because they didn't play Kansas in 2020.
That was the last year of Charlie.
And
then Herman got a legit win. Not that they're not all. He got a pretty easy win, didn't he? And then he had the win that was close. They had a really close one. Let me go back here for you.
That's what it was. It was a close win here in Austin that Texas had. No, that was
okay. They lost in 2017. Was Charlie right? 27. Where did it go? No. Hang on. I'm literally staring at it and I can't figure it out. Why is that? What was Charlie's last year?
2016?
Oh, he was 16. Okay, so I don't have that one in front of me. So 2017.
17, 18, 19, 20, yeah.
17, they beat him. Beat him 2 years in a row. Beat him 3 years in a row.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you had four wins in there. And you didn't play him in 20.
Okay, so a second loss to Kansas this year is a losing streak to the Jayhawks.
Yes, that would
be. I'm not signing that deal.
It would be a streak. Okay, technically, you're right. It would be a losing streak. All right, so there you go. Longhorn stuff to start the hour. Jordan Matthews, the cornerback out of Baton Rouge, does pick Tennessee. So the Longhorns miss out on that one. And, of course, we're talking about these injuries from over the weekend. If you're just jumping in, Junior Angelou and Isaiah Nayor, the big ones. Coming up at 5 o'clock this afternoon, Coach Sark will meet with the media. There hasn't been an official word from UT on any of these injuries. Again, we're going off of insider sites and the reporting that they have from inside the program. It may become official today if Sark wants to tell the media what happens. But Angelou and Nayor are thought to be season-ending injuries. Rashawn Johnson thought to be about a month or so with a high ankle sprain. The Alfred Collins injury. What's that injury again for him?
Undisclosed. We don't know when it happened, and we're not totally sure what the injury is either.
But 4 to 6 weeks is the thought, at least. Maybe you get a little clarification from Steve Sarkisian there. And then, of course, the Ajai Hall story, just kind of a weird one right now. I'll say it again. On its face, I don't know if Ajai Hall has to not play football again for Texas. I think the cumulative thing is what's weird for him. So if you go back to last year, there was a game where Alabama whipped somebody in their regular season. Mm-hmm. He did not get any targets, and he tweeted out a snarky comment like, yep, I'm done. And then the next week is when they played the Tennessee game, and he was nowhere to be found. Then eventually they asked Saban about, is there something he could do to come back? And Saban said, I don't know what his future plans are, and was basically saying, look, we're done. Like, we're moving on from this guy. And now you have this circumstance with the criminal mischief incident. So put it all together, how does Sark look at Ajai Hall now? That adds to the issue right back to where we started, Trey, about that receiver room, what you do now that Hall, if you assume Hall and Nayor are not playing, what does that ultimately mean?
You get everybody else as up to speed as possible. You hope that Casey Kane can be a great story in terms of a former walk-on who turns into a productive player for you. Tariq Milton just felt like a cherry on top of a nice offseason for this program, landing transfers and transfer wide receivers at that. Now he turns into a key component in this passing offense. I mean, there's not any one answer necessarily, but a group of guys who may be able to fill in an admirable former fashion for a guy who is likely going to be an airy down receiver for you with Nayor.
Dude, if Milton was a cherry, make Cobbler. Get after it.
Yeah.
Do what you can. Here's what I've not understood, I'll admit, with me being the kind of football fan I am, Trey. I've never understood how, especially with receivers, you'll get a receiver hurt at a certain position, and the discussion is, well, here's his backup, and here's that backup.
Mm-hmm.
Well, couldn't you move this? Oh, no, you can't move that guy over because that guy plays this receiver position and that guy plays this one. I get that when you say maybe a guard couldn't play tackle. Maybe a defensive end couldn't play defensive tackle.
Right.
I get those. What I don't get is why you couldn't scheme up a different circumstance. The defense doesn't determine what you put on the field and what you want to do.
True.
You do. I always hear Rod Babers and others talk about positionless football, and I love it when he gets into that discussion. And in a lot of ways, the whole sport can kind of become positionless. If Tariq Milton is a badass, can't I make him – you're telling me he's only a badass if he's standing a certain number of yards away from the tackle on the offensive line? Well, he can't go out a little further. He can't come in. He can't do – I've watched teams over the years out-scheme people by taking a guy you would never put out wide and putting him out wide. I watched the Patriots win a Super Bowl doing it. So you're telling me that a guy's locked into his position? If it's about getting everybody on the field, why wouldn't you say, look, man, we could go with five wides, and here are our five wides. But wait, coach, two of those guys play this position. I don't care. These are our five best guys for this play, and we will coach them up.
Yeah, and you have to believe that Steve Sarkisian is going to be able to draw up mismatches and find where the mismatch is, whether it's a guy who's not traditionally an outside receiver lining up outside against a slower player perhaps, or a player that he has a physical advantage over. You may see a little bit more of those tight ends lining up outside to try and add an extra level of blocking on something like a wide receiver screen. I'm curious to see how Steve Sarkisian handles this in terms of some of the plays that he is drawing up for his quarterbacks to try and compete when they do actually throw the football. If anything, well, I say that, but they lost Roschon Johnson now. This just lends itself to this notion that Texas needs to do a better job of establishing the run before they try and lean too heavily on the passing attack. They can still do that, by the way. They're just going to have to do so with Jonathan Brooks, Jaden Blue, and then maybe a heavier dose of Keelan Robinson now, too, by the way, in early downs.
And by the way, somebody was texting earlier about what was good out of the scrimmage. Tell us about what happened. One of the things that I have, Jaden Blue, looking pretty good. When he needed to step in for Roschon, he did, but apparently he was already looking pretty good.
Jaden Blue's looking good, and apparently, and I'm not saying this facetiously either, Bijan Robinson looks as good as he has since he stepped foot on campus here in Austin. The good news of that, Chad, is you're going to be able to run him in the ground to try and beat Texas Tech in Lubbock the fourth game of the season, and then have him going at three quarters to half speed the rest of the way.
So here's the comparison I would make for the last coach to this coach. One of the things that frustrated me about Tom Herman's era was those arguments about receivers. He would argue about guys like that after injuries. And I kept thinking, wait a minute, you're the offensive guru. Mm-hmm. You're telling me you can't dial up a plan to get those guys on the field. So that's where, if I'm a Texas fan right now, I'm hoping Sark changes that mindset. He's the guy scheming it.
Mm-hmm.
So get after it. And I would be, so far from what we've seen, I think we can be confident in this idea. Sark theoretically is going to be able to scheme up some of those tight end moments and some of the running back moments like you're talking about. Keelan Robinson, I think, is a great guy to mention. He's already shown how versatile he is. We know how quick he is when he puts his foot in the ground. And Trey, you know, I love the tight end position. Supposedly so does Sark. And if y'all have watched Zero run as a tight end and try to catch passes, and I remember Billingsley at Alabama.
Right.
Get those 12 personnel things going. Get those 11 personnel sets going. Get those, you know, take a 12 personnel set and then split everybody out and make it a five wide set with some big dog tight ends and create a situation where somebody's got to cover them. That's the kind of stuff we need to see from Sark.
Agreed with all that, and I don't want to hear any excuses this year about Keelan Robinson not knowing the playbook well enough. Understand the constraints that you're working with, if that's the case, and still find ways to get him the football in space.
Yep.
This doesn't need to be French technique. This could be good Italian cooking. Keep it simple, stupid.
I'll keep saying it, too. Run an 11 personnel set with, let me just pick two, Jatavion Sanders and Bijan, right? Run it as a power set for a couple plays and then run a split empty set with five wides and make those two guys a part of it. You're daring the defense to cover them.
Works for me.
That's a problem. Who covers Bijan Robinson if he splits out wide? Who does it? I'm not sure. It depends on who he's facing. But they'll have to deal with that.
If it's a cornerback, he's going to out-physical the kid. If it's a safety, if it's a linebacker, he's going to out-athletic the kid.
Right.
But some combination of those things, somebody else is going to be open.
And at the same time, who the hell's covering Sanders on the other side of the field?
Exactly.
That's the kind of stuff you can do. We know Sark is capable of it. Now let's see if he can do it with the dudes wearing burnt orange and white.